I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis this morning, if you will. We'll be looking at some verses there from recording concerning the beginning of time on earth as man knows it. God in His infinite wisdom, who is eternal, who's always been and is today and always will be. That's why He's eternal. He revealed to us how this universe, the earth and everything in it came into being. And in the book of Genesis, there are several things that are taught that will help me as an individual, if I'll be alert and attentive to these things, to help me in my life, to help me understand some things about God and about myself and about my fellow man and about life and the certainty of life ending on earth and the reality of the fact that there's going to be life after death and they're all going to be judged according to the Word of God. So Genesis is a very interesting book, and I'd like to take two lessons this morning, the Lord's willing, this one and the one after classes, and just review some things about the book of Genesis, some lessons that are found there. Probably about 8 or 10 years ago, we looked at some of these thoughts from the book of Genesis, and I went back and used some of those thoughts again this morning, along with some other thoughts that I've added with it that are in those verses, in those chapters, 50 chapters of Genesis. And it's really just a review of things that you already know, and that hopefully I already know, that should encourage us to realize our place in life and who we are, and to renew our hope in heaven, our confidence and our faith in God, and our assurance that there is a God who is alive who will deliver us to heaven if we obey Him in this life. And that's so important. Before we look to the book of Genesis and begin these points, I do want to say this. The congregation here is a group of good people. I believe you're faithful Christians. And my wife and I, as the years we've been here, it's been good to be associated with each one of you. Many of you we've known even before we came here. And the fact that you're here for the services and you sing and you pray and you participate so well, and those that participate in the teaching and the comments that are made in the Bible classes, they're so good. And these are good things that we have. And so, I guess when you get to a certain point in time, you begin to look back and you begin to see things in life that you wish you'd done differently, and thankful that you did some things the way you did. And so I guess all of us have that. But one thing that I guess any gospel preacher or any elder in the church, and a gospel preacher is not an elder by no means, but anyone who would serve in a public capacity in the church, teacher, song leader, those who participate to carry out the work of the Lord, is to be done decently and in order. It's to be done that we'll be edified, that we'll be encouraged, that God will be glorified, and that most of all, that the truth is always taught from the pulpit or from a Bible class setting. So as you look at your life and you look at things that go on and things that happen to people, and you see other people who are Christians and you see their struggle as they get older, you'd be my friend if you would let me know if I get to a point in the pulpit that I become a hindrance or a deterrence to the worship or the teaching of the Word of God or the things that need to be done in the assembly, that you'd let me know so that I could gracefully step aside and let someone younger or even someone my age who's more capable do that. Because one thing I would never want to do after all these years of preaching the gospel is to take the pulpit and mumble and stumble and not be able to teach the Word of God and help someone and help myself to be a better student of the Word of God and lead others to Christ. And I really think that hopefully every gospel preacher would have that attitude, that if there comes a time when we would be a deterrent to that which ought to be done in the services, or we're not no longer capable of teaching the truth without changing the scriptures in some way or saying the wrong thing, then that's time to make a change. And so you'd be my friend if you'd let me know if that time comes and you see it. Come to me and talk to him about it. And hopefully my wife would let me know. We've been married all these years and I know she loves me and she'd never want to hurt my feelings. So she might be the last one that would ever tell me. But if that comes to be the case, then please let me know. So let's go to the book of Genesis this morning and look at some things concerning what is taught there. First of all, in Genesis chapter 1, let's go back there, the very beginning of the Bible. and see one of the very important points that we find from the book of Genesis, and that is that God is. And when we think about God is, we think about the scriptures that says from time to time when God said, I am. When he spoke to different ones in the Bible, he said, I am. And so the fact is that the great I am, he is, capital H, he is. The great I am, he is. That is God. He is the great I am, he is God, because he's always been, he is today, and he always will be. There's no beginning, there's no end, there's no in between. God is there. He's the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He is the one that the Spirit moved over the great deep, and everything was created. Nothing was created without him or without his Son and the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. When he spoke it into existence, let there be light. And there was light. And he separated the waters from the land. He made all the animal life and the plant life and the sea life. And he put everything into place and everything into being. And then he made man in his own image. That is, that man is a spirit. He's eternal as God is. So as men and women who are made in the image of God, we are eternal, unlike everything else. Even though we die physically, the body dies, we are a spirit living in a temporal body. So when the body dies, our spirit continues to live. And so it's going to be in one of two places, either heaven or hell. And God then, God is. He is the creator. He is the great I am, who always has been and is today and always will be. He made all things, including man. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and let's read just a few verses concerning God and what he did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so that statement comes through inspiration. There are many people who are trying to teach and say that there are scientific theories that prove, and they are theories only, that prove that man evolved over time and that God really didn't create man, that man evolved from something else, from a smaller being, a smaller life into what he is today. That over millions and billions of years, man evolved to where he is today. And so those people fail to see what the Bible really is. And we've talked about this before in our Bible classes and from the pulpit. The Word of God is different from any book that you can read. And as someone said the other night in the invitation or one of the lessons that we were studying, that it's not, I believe it was Ronnie made that statement, it's not the cover or the pages or the ink, but it's the words, the Word of God. The Word of God lives forever. And so the Word of God, as it was revealed to God through the fathers and through inspiration, they were spoken to in the past, and the prophets spoke to them and gave them the Word of God. And then the men in the New Testament, they received the Word of God as Jesus had promised it to them, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would receive the Word of God. And they did that. So the Word of God is complete and perfect and thorough. So anyone who would say that man is not in the image of God and that the world just some big explosion billions of years ago broke off from something else out in space and made this planet, they have no basis on which to believe that other than just a theory conjured up in the minds of men. And so there's no basis for it. But the Bible is different. It has a basis that cannot be denied. When you have a book that was written over 1,600 years by 40 different men, all living for the most part in different times and different decades and different centuries, but every word in that book, nothing in it is contradictory. It is in complete harmony, and the theme stays true all the way through it. There's not another book that could ever be written by man that would do that. So when we look at the book of Genesis and we see that here's God. In the beginning, God, in the beginning of what? In the beginning of this universe as we know it. Because God always was. He always has been and he is today. But at this point, in Genesis, the beginning of this universe, this earth, and the time of man on this earth. That is what Genesis is, the beginning of the creation of the life on earth and the things that sustain it, the stars and the things around it, the things that are made, the tide that rolls in, the flowing of the airflow, everything about it, the day and the night, the changing of the seasons, all again, that was put there by God. So God is the creator. He made all things, including man. So we see in chapter 1, he made all these things. Verse 3, he made the light. And he saw the light was good, verse 4, and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the stars. And so he made that. And God made the expanse and separated the waters from which were below the expanse, from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God said, and it was so. God spoke, and it happened. Verse 8, and God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. Look at the wisdom of God. He made everything and had its own seed within it that it could be refurbished, that it could come back, that it could be regenerated year after year. He made that so that the seed from the apple or the peach or the seed from the corn, it could be replanted and go into the soil and decay and come back up as a new plant. What for? For man to have food, for man to have shelter, for man to have clothing, for man to have protection. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth vegetation, plant yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said in verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of heaven to separate the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So he put everything that we see around us, all the planets, the lights. And you know, you hear all these things about, they come up and say, oh, they found another planet. Oh, they found another universe. Well, God made that. And God limits man to what he can do. And we're going to talk about that in some of these lessons this morning. So God, verse 17, placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the light and the night, and to separate the night from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Then verse 20, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. So he made the fowl of the air, he made the things of the sea, he made all the land, and he created sea monsters and every living creature and everything that moves and every winged bird. And God blessed them, saying, verse 22, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning and a fifth day. And then on the verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth and their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said in verse 26, after he made all that, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God made man. Verse 27. And notice in verse 26, as many people deny today, that man has no power and no right to have power over animals. Certainly, man is to be the caretaker of the things around him. Animals, the plant life, the sea life, we're to be caretakers of it. And it's there for our use, though. And man then has control over that as far as using it, as God put it in our place to have. In verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God created everything in its own fashion, in its own way, in its own species, in its own form, that it might reproduce in its own form, in its own way. So it took a male and a female, It takes certain things with the seeds. It takes certain things with the plants. It takes certain things with the fowl and the sea life to reproduce. Yet we have people in our society today who are pounding it down our throats every day that there's not any difference in a man and a woman. That you really can't call a male a man and a lady a woman. You can't make that distinction anymore. Well, those people, they need to go back to school. They need to go back and read the Word of God. They need to have some faith in their life. They need to have some understanding that a man is not a woman and a woman is not a man. Although the woman was made for the man and he's to love her and care for her, there's the male and the female. That's for procreation. That's God. What is wrong with people? And God said, let there be. And he made man. So Genesis is an interesting book. More people need to read it. I need to read it more often so I can understand who God is and who I am and my place and your place and how it all works. It works because he put it that way. Not because some man say it ought to be this way. Because God made it that way. Because God, man cannot change what God has done. Man can disobey God and turn from God and rebel against God and do things his own way and be eternally lost if that's what he wants. He can teach things that are different from God and contrary to God if he wants, but that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it real. It doesn't make it true. And I am so sad that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren are in a time. And you talk about time. There's always been bad times. Genesis 6. Every thought and imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. But in a time when people are trying to take our children and tell them that you're not really a boy or a girl. You can change. That there's not really a God. So, in the days of Noah, 8 righteous souls believed. One righteous man stood up and spoke and preached and did not doubt. When everyone else around him would not listen. For 120 years he did that. Genesis is an interesting book. Very interesting. Well, secondly, we are the created. And I've already covered that basically. God is the creator. We are the created. We are not those who create. You know, there's always someone coming up and saying, oh, look what these scientists found. They found something new. No. They just found something that's already there that God allowed them to have the ability to find out about it. That's all it was. They didn't find anything new in the sight of God. It may be new to them. And it may be new to man, but it's not new to God. Whatever man does, he does it with the ability God has given him. Whatever he finds and discovers that's real, it was already there. We just didn't know about it. God is there. He created us. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, chapter 2 and verse 7. We've already read 1 in verse 26. Chapter 2 and verse 18, verses 21 and 22. We'll look at that very quickly. Genesis chapter 1 verses 21 and 22. We go back to that. And there he says concerning, and God created the all everything in the sea, everything on earth, in verse 22, and God blessed them on the earth to multiply. He created everything on the earth. And then in verse 24, he brought forth the living creatures. He made the beast in verse 25. And verse 26, let us make man in our image. So we are a creation. We didn't evolve. We just didn't happen to come into being. It wasn't something that man did that brought man up through the ages and caused us to evolve to where we are. Now, God made us. Now, our ability, he gave us the ability with our minds, the blood flowing through our body, our heart pumping blood through our body and the oxygen through our system, and he gave us a mind with which to reason. You know, animals have instinct, but man has reasoning. Animals can be taught through instinct and through training, but man has reasoning and instinct. Man has reasoning ability. He has listening ability. He has learning ability. He has retaining ability. And it The brain is so great and so wonderful that we can learn as much as we can possibly pack into it if we will search for it. God made us that way. So, the book of Genesis is good. God is, and we are the one that was created. God created us. We're made in His image. We are held accountable to God. God has rules. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, He made all men and He put the man and woman in the garden and He put some rules out there. And He told Adam and Eve, He said, cultivate and keep the garden, don't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Well, simply stated, God gave them two rules. Dress and keep the garden, or some versions say, cultivate and keep the garden. Go out there and take care of that garden. But this tree here in the middle, don't eat of it. You'd think it would be a simple thing for man. But here's the thing. God made us in a physical body, spiritual being in a physical body, and here comes the side of the flesh. And we're tempted on the devil's side, on the Satan side. He tempts us through the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we're drawn away, we're drawn away of our own lust. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So, I don't need to blame anybody. If I sin, it's on me. Because I couldn't control my lust, my whims, and my desires. And I was foolish enough to listen to something of the devil that someone was presenting to me, or I thought in my own mind was okay, and I didn't listen to it. So God has rules, and He expects rules to be obeyed. He gave them these rules. Adam and Eve, dress and keep the garden, but don't eat the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Well, they disobeyed. The serpent came to her, and he beguiled Eve, and she, well, it looks good. And she did eat of the fruit, and she gave her husband, and he did eat, and their eyes were open. This is the tree of life to distinguish between good and evil. When they ate, they realized that they were naked, and they went and hid themselves. God gave them rules, and they broke them. He broke the one by eating the forbidden fruit. And when they broke the fruit, they had to pay the piper. Had to pay the consequence. He said, you're going to be put out from this garden, away from the tree of life, and you're going to make a living by the sweat of your brow, and you are going to have the travail of the pain of childbearing, and you're going to be separated from the tree of life, and you're going to die physically. God did that because He made them. Why? Because they disobeyed God. I need to be the type of person today that believes in this book and believes in God. And we need other people around us today who believe in this book and believe in God. And we should want our children to be taught by teachers who will teach the truth. We should want our children to be around people who really believe the truth and are not pulled around and led by all kind of whims of the devil, just like the devil tempted her and enticed her and she did eat. That's what's happening in society today and has been happening since Adam and Eve in Genesis 6. There's too many things pulling at people. In every generation it's been that way. Things pull at people. Oh, that looks good. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't we? You know, back in the 1950s and 60s. 1960s, remember the twist, some of y'all? And the miniskirt. My grandmother, when those miniskirts came out, she never cursed, and she didn't curse when you said this, but she had some strong words. She was a faithful Christian. But she could use some strong words. And when some of her grandchildren came around in miniskirts to visit her, y'all need to go get some clothes on. You're not coming to my house. I'm so thankful I had a grandma that believed that way. And you know those girls, they knew if they was coming to Granny's house, the miniskirts stayed in Georgia or wherever they were from. We're going to Granny's house. We better put some clothes on. She said, you've got a body. Keep it covered. God punished the disobedient. But everyone else around us says, oh, this music is great. Get in here with it. It'll make you think you can get high on drugs and you'll be okay, and it'll make you think you can do anything you want to do and it's all right. Everybody else is doing it, it's good, and you dress any way you want to do, and you go in there and do anything you want to, and you do anything with your body you want to do with it because it's yours. No. I'm in this body, but my body, my life belongs to God. And if I use it inappropriately, I've separated myself from God. God punishes the disobedient. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, He punished them. He brought punishment on the serpent who tempted her, and He brought punishment on Eve and Adam. And He made the promise that I'm going to send a reckoning Savior for this one day that's going to give that old serpent a blow that he'll never overcome. God punishes the disobedient. Maybe we've got time for one more point. Man's worship must be acceptable to God. Genesis chapter 4. No doubt there are people around the world today. I mean, you cross the time zone, it would have been yesterday, the first day of the week in a lot of places, which is today. And some even worship on the Sabbath day still, a few. We know the first day of the week is the day of worship. But we've learned from the book of Genesis that man's worship must be acceptable to God. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord said, had regard for Abel for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance failed. So we have an example in the Bible that there is such thing as acceptable worship to God. There is worship that can be offered that God will not accept. And just as it was then, and it would be now, some people you can read the Bible to and show them that what they're doing in worship is not acceptable to God, and what they do, their countenance falls and they get mad like Cain did. They want to gnash on you with their teeth like it did Stephen. They just don't want to hear it. Why? Because it's truth. It's from God. Genesis is a good book. Man's worship must be acceptable to God. And today, our worship needs to be acceptable to God. You already know that. I don't have to quote to you John 3, 23 and 24. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Or Hebrews 10, 25. Or Galatians chapter 1. You know those things. Think about who we are and who God is. I think we're going to stop at this point. I had one more I want to get in this lesson, but we'll go over, and everybody needs a little break, especially after listening to me for 25 minutes. So we'll begin here, the Lord's willing, in our next lesson. I hope it will fire you up this morning. Fire you up. You know, we rally around all these football games and all these coaches, and Donald brings his basketball team in there at Priceville and fires them up, don't he? Oh, we get fired up by the ball game. We get fired up by an election. But it's what happened to the Word of God. What's happened to our worship? What's happened to me? I get fired up about the wrong thing. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you'll be baptized into Christ, we can help you in that. If you're here and you need to make something right, we're here to pray with you and for you, and you can pray too, and God will forgive you. If you need to come, please do, while Barry leads us in the invitation service.